It was August 2015. Summer was over and school was starting back for rising sophomore Kayla Shelton. She was staying at a friend's house near the campus at the University of North Carolina at Greensboro. It was in the wee hours of the morning, somewhere around 2 to 3 a.m., when she received a call from a number she didn't recognize. It was an 828 area code, and her boyfriend Martin just went back to school, so she picked up. In fact, it was Martin, and he was in jail and in trouble. "Please come get me, Kayla. I have been arrested for a DWI."
Martin was a rising sophomore at Appalachian State University in Boone, North Carolina. It was his first day back from summer break. He had attended a party, had a little too much to drink, and then he made the decision to get behind the wheel. Even though the drive was an hour and 45 minutes each way, Kayla knew Martin needed her, so she quickly got dressed and started the drive.
A couple of hours later, Kayla arrived at the Boone Police Department. She was surprised to see Martin waiting for her outside in the parking lot. When she opened her car door and got out, he approached her and seemed angry. Once he got close enough, he threw money at her and told her she could go. Kayla confronted Martin and said that she would not accept being treated that way, that she drove a long distance to help him, and the way he was acting was not okay. Their relationship ended in that parking lot. Kayla drove back to Greensboro, and Martin walked back to his place in Boone.
Although it wasn't their last interaction, it was just the beginning of major changes in the life of Martin Roberts. Just 8 months later, he would vanish, leaving very little clues in his wake. Today, we will cover the missing person case of James Martin Roberts.
Hey there, True Crime Mamas and friends. I'm Susanna, your host of the True Crime Mamas podcast. Today we have Lindsay and Christina. How are you guys?
Hey.
Hello.
Good. So you guys just took a field trip to prepare for today's case, didn't you?
We sure did.
Where did you go?
We went to Boone.
Tell us about it. I want to hear all about it.
Well, we didn't know what to expect.
We were lost when we got there.
Yeah, and we actually accidentally came upon the place that we were looking for, which, I mean, that's just bold luck. Yeah. There's no other way to say it. We're driving around, it's like, wait a minute, that kind of looks like the wall. I wonder if that's the wall. Where are we? So we ended up being in the place that we were supposed to be.
Yeah, just by luck.
Just by luck.
All right.
Yeah, so we did take some pictures, so we'll post those up on the webpage after the episode launches. But we took a picture of where Martin was last seen, at the bus stop where he stood and talked for about 20 minutes, and then the sign right by the school. And then we went up to Trout Lake, which is, there's no confirmed sighting of Martin there, but apparently he was seen there two times.
Okay, wow. So, was it gorgeous up there? Because I know it's early October and the leaves are changing.
It was such a beautiful drive. I mean, that was something that we kept saying to one another. And then the people in Boone are just so friendly. And we just could have probably stayed there a couple of days because everyone was so interested in why we were there and what we were doing. And I definitely want to give a shout out to this great restaurant that we went to. Yeah. It was called Our Daily Bread. And so, it's right in the middle of downtown Boone. If you guys happen to be visiting Boone or you live in Boone, you probably know about it. But I would recommend just going in there and checking it out. We had great food.
So good.
Beautiful cocktails. We had mimosas that were out of this world.
Oh, that sounds amazing. So I heard that you guys had some interest from people. One of you was wearing your True Crime Mama shirt, right?
Yes, I had to represent. We wanted to both wear them, but Lindsay, why didn't you wear your shirt?
I didn't want to look like dorky, like we were matching. I mean,
You know, one of the guys that worked at the restaurant that we ate at, or it was the girls, actually, mm-hmm. they were college girls and they worked there, and they were interested because Christina looks super official with her shirt on and her laptop. And she was like, oh, are you guys here doing a project? And we were like, no, do we look like young enough to be college students?
And then they flattered us and they said that we did. So we were really grateful for that.
Oh, we need to send them some swag for that.
But they did get really excited whenever we were telling them, you know, who we were with and what we were doing. It was interesting, you know, they were sophomores, I believe. It was their second year at App, and they hadn't even heard of Martin's Case. So
it's amazing how quickly things changed. And we were doing the math, and the exiting senior class in 2020 would have been the last class to be even aware of the situation because this all went down in spring of 2016.
Wow.
Yeah, they had absolutely no idea. There was one, he was a bartender. He was the only one who knew the story. He had been in Boone for about 11 years. Mm-hmm. And he actually sent us down another rabbit trail that we wish that we were able to confirm some things that we haven't, but we think we maybe actually uncovered another case that we were going to cover.
Oh, that's so exciting. I love when that happens. Oh, when things are connected and we can just go deep down those holes. And
yeah, poor Lindsay, last night we got home, we didn't get home too late, but last night late into the night, both of us were up going down rabbit holes, but Lindsay sent me quite a few texts last night, and actually I've got a couple of different podcasts to listen to, just because, I mean, once you're deep into a case, you want everything you can
get. Right. Yep. Every piece of information. Yeah. Yes. Well, awesome. Well, I'm so excited for this. I know you all have put in a lot of time in research and field trips. So let's get started.
Great.
All right.
James Martin Roberts was born August 22nd, 1996. He grew up in Kernersville, North Carolina. He attended East Forsyth High School, where he was a high school soccer star with a large circle of friends. In high school, he was a jokester, fun to be around, and caring.
So Kayla met Martin when they started middle school at Kernersville Middle School. Freshman year, they had a bio class together, and Kayla did not like science at all, and she actually cheated off of Martin's papers. They were good friends, but nothing happened romantically until their junior year. When they were dating, Martin went out of his way to make sure that Kayla was happy. They always wanted the best for each other.
Senior year, he knew he was going away to college. They broke up for a little while. He went to prom with some other girl, but they were always friends at the base of things. They got back together the summer before college and stayed together until right after school started in August of 2014. Kayla stated, he wanted to go to college, have friends, and be the cool guy. He was out from under his parents. He was able to do whatever he wanted. He was easily influenced. The first night when he got there, he took body shots off of some girl. I saw it on some other girl's Snapchat, and that's when we broke up. From that point forward, he went off the deep end. He wanted to make sure that everyone around him was happy and thought he was cool.
Martin went through Rush that fall semester and ended up being the leader of the freshman pledge class of the Tau Kappa Epsilon, better known as TEK or TKE. According to Kayla, all of Martin's friends were TEK. He wanted them to perceive him as the cool guy and wanted to be part of it. The TEK seemed really close. Martin actually spent a lot of time hanging out and partying with his frat brothers. The summer after freshman year, Kayla and Martin decided to give a relationship another try. He went to the beach with her and her family, and she says her favorite memory of Martin during this time was that they were talking about a whole bunch of stuff at a lifeguard stand. She said she was sitting on the stand and he was standing on the steps. They talked about the future, and it was nighttime, and it was just so beautiful. She took a picture to always remember that night.
On the first day of sophomore year at App State, Martin went to a frat party, got drunk, and then drove on the App State campus. He was arrested, charged with a DWI, and spent the night in jail. He hid the fact that he was driving from his parents and instead told them he was walking drunk and got a ticket for being drunk and disorderly. And we actually found out a little bit later that he eventually did tell his dad and stepmom, but he did not tell his mom and his sister. That same night of his arrest, his girlfriend Kayla drove almost 100 miles to bail him out. By the time she arrived, he'd already been released. He was furious, and when he saw her, it resulted in a heated argument and a breakup. He was only 18, and in one night had lots of big grown-up things happen to him.
So around the holidays of his sophomore year, Martin told his parents that he needed to take a break from school and to just get away from the life of the frat parties and take the time to just kind of refocus. Martin returned to school, allowing everyone to believe that he was re-enrolling at App, but he actually enrolled at Caldwell Community College in hopes of boosting his grades so that he could return to App for his junior year with the goal of enrolling into business school. So even though Martin was not at App, he still continued his friendship with all of his frat brothers, and he actually had a very active social life.
So on Monday, April 18th is really when the big portion of our story starts. Martin and his dad, John, had a phone call regarding his future plans and a budget. And after the call, Martin agreed to call John back in the next 1 to 2 days. And then on Tuesday, April 19th, a fraternity brother drove Martin on errands. He got a haircut and picked up groceries. We did find out that most of the groceries were frozen meals, which was a little interesting in considering what happens next. On Wednesday, April 20th, Martin dropped out of his fraternity and left the group chats with his fraternity and his high school friends. According to Kayla, the high school group chat was created for Beach Week. No one had even talked on it since Beach Week. So when the notification came up, Kayla reached out to Martin to ask why. He said that no one could help him. And what he was saying was alarming to Kayla. She said, "I thought he was about to commit suicide." She said that she should come down, but he said he was fine and not to come down. She asked him to call in the morning and let her know that he was okay, but she never heard back from him.
So on Thursday, April 21st, Martin left his apartment around 10:30 a.m., and he told his roommate that he was going to the library. A bit later, he ran into his cousin, who said that he was acting completely normal. He told her that he was going to his fraternity house. Around 12:30 p.m., security footage from the Apple Cart bus stop showed that Martin was waving goodbye to his cousin as she boarded the bus. This is actually the last confirmed sighting that we have of Martin. As the bus departs, Robert is seen over a 17-second time frame walking towards a busy intersection. He looks both ways, and then it's as if he just completely disappears. That same day, Kayla actually texted Martin's friend Ryan and asked him to come check on Martin. He texted back and said that he was fine and he would check up on him later. But that Friday, Ryan texted Kayla and asked if she had seen him.
I have to stop here for a second and say how frustrating would that be that you're asking someone to do something. They say they're going to do it later. And then on Friday, they're saying, "Hey, do you know where he is?"
Yeah, it's as if he never really even checked on him in the first place.
Yeah, and we weren't really able to get in touch with Ryan to verify. We reached out to him a number of times just to find out his take on the story. And we didn't hear back from him, mm-hmm. So we can't necessarily verify that story. So moving into Friday, April 22nd, Martin's father, John, became concerned that he had yet to hear from Martin. He called Martin's landlord, who then put him in touch with his roommates. That's when he found out about the note. Some of Martin's fraternity brothers became concerned when Martin dropped off the group chat, so they went to his apartment to check up on him. Instead of finding Martin, they found his laptop, cell phone, and wallet. A note was also found face down on his bed. Then, when they found that, they contacted authorities. The note itself said that he regretted he hadn't taken advantage of opportunities he had and that he was leaving, his father John said. It didn't say if he was going somewhere or going to do something or what his intentions were. It was vague. It is still one of the biggest mysteries.
It seems to me that Martin was very much trying to keep up the facade that everything was going great for him. In his note, he alluded to being tired of that, tired of his life not living up to expectations, said Lieutenant Chris Hatton of the Boone Police Department. Another crumbled up version of the note was actually found in a wastebasket in his room, which to me seems kind of interesting.
Yeah.
On April 22nd, 2016, Boone Police issued a press release regarding Martin's disappearance. Boone police are seeking the public's assistance in locating a missing person, James Martin Roberts, white male, 19 years of age. Mr. Roberts is 5'10 and weighs approximately 145 pounds. He has brown hair and blue eyes. He was last seen wearing a black short-sleeve Appalachian State windbreaker, khaki shorts, gray New Balance shoes, and a white golf visor hat. He was last seen in the area around the ASU Convocation Center.
On April 24, 2016, there was another report, and it said Thursday, April 21st, at approximately 12:30 p.m., near the intersection of Hardin Street and River Street around the ASU Convocation Center, there was a possible sighting of Martin in the Trout Lake area of the Blue Ridge Parkway. A North Carolina State Highway Patrol helicopter assisted in checking the area last night. However, nothing was located. He was wearing a black short-sleeved Appalachian State windbreaker, khaki shorts, granny balance shoes, and a white golf visor hat. Martin is from Kernersville, North Carolina, and currently resides in Boone while attending Caldwell Community College. He has a large family that loves and supports him. They are awaiting his safe return. They are very concerned because Martin's disappearance is totally out of character for him. Martin enjoys hiking, camping, and spending time on the trails in and around the Blue Ridge Parkway.
Police found that by the time Martin disappeared, he hadn't logged onto any of his classes in over a month. He was also missing periods of time where he would tell his roommates he was spending time with his cousin, the same one that he had ran into the day he disappeared. And she actually hadn't seen him all semester. He would also tell his friends he was working, even though there was no evidence he even had a job. Antidepressants were also found in his bedroom, but he wasn't even prescribed to them. There was a film of dust on the plastic bag, which actually indicated that he didn't regularly use them as well. There were two unconfirmed sightings of Martin after he disappeared. It was thought he was seen hiking at Trout Lake. Martin also left behind his wallet, cell phone, iPad, and other electronics. He didn't seem to pack any extra clothing. It didn't appear that he had stashed away any extra cash, and he had even left his bank card in the pocket of a pair of jeans that were found on his bedroom floor.
On May 23, 2016, Boone police issued a letter to the community, and this is what it said. It has been a month since James Martin Roberts was reported missing. During that time, an extensive amount of investigative work has been completed. We want the Roberts family and our community to know that we are diligently continuing the task at hand. Every day, our team is assigned to this case. They examine all the probabilities and possibilities in an attempt to discover the facts behind Martin's disappearance. We believe that we are close to accessing Martin's electronic communications. This certainly should shed some light on this case. One factor in the investigation has prompted this letter to the community. We have learned that there are periods of time where Martin's whereabouts cannot be accounted for by his friends and roommates. This has led us to believe that there is a person in this community who has knowledge of Martin Roberts, but who may be hesitant to come forward. This person would have spent time with Martin during the weeks prior to Martin's disappearance. To this person, I want to speak with you. Our conversation can be private, anonymous, and discreet. Regardless of circumstances, please call and provide the information we need. You can reach me directly at 828-268-6920. Yours in service, Dana Crawford, Chief of Police.
So the problem was that Martin actually left no digital trail. So due to a 2016 precedent, Apple would not give Martin's parents or authorities access to his phone, iPad, or laptop. Authorities did not find any loopholes. They tried his password 10 times, and then the phone automatically erased the data and uploaded it to the iCloud. Unfortunately, no leads came from any of that. Martin had an old Dell in which he had searched Marine recruiting and workout programs, but there's no real evidence that he enlisted or even talked to a recruiter. Other searches indicate that he was just looking for a change. Kayla said, "He was a skinny little thing. He was not very into the combat situation. He could have used that as a way to get overseas and then leave if he possibly got deployed. Maybe it could have been a scapegoat.
So we really weren't able to do much confirmation around this. So we didn't really spend a lot of time here. So on June 15th, 2016, a code red call went out to the Watauga County businesses and homeowners, asking individuals to be on the lookout for Martin. In a press release, the department added, "In the interest of being thorough, we would like you to know that we have covered areas that an individual could have taken up residence in the absence of the property owner and remain otherwise unnoticed. If there are any signs of unauthorized entry or occupation, please contact the Boone Police Department at 828-268-6900 for Crime Stoppers at 828-268-6959.
On June 24th, 2016, Boone Police Chief Dana Crawford stated, "We have looked for signs of life such as financial transactions, social media use, and an extensive list of other investigative steps. We have also focused attention on the fact that he could be deceased. We have searched area lakes and many acres of wooded areas around where Martin lived and in areas that he was known to have visited frequently. After 2 months, we still do not have any positive indications as to his whereabouts." John Martin's dad stated, "We decided to try to put some attention to the coastal areas because Martin loves the beach. For the last 55 years, our family has had a tradition of vacationing in the Ocean Isle Beach."
So on July 23, 2016, Boone Police issued an update regarding Martin's disappearance. A letter was found in his room. It indicated that he was leaving everything and everyone behind, but it did not seem to indicate that he was planning to harm himself. The family believes that he was experiencing challenges and just wanted to escape from it all. Boone Police Chief Dana Crawford said that after a month, we began exhausting leads of the possibilities that were likely, so we began to look for the unlikely scenarios. We are always open to new ideas and have sought out other people with experience and knowledge in these types of cases. Lead investigator on the case, Boone Police Detective Kevin Wilson, reported that he had spent a few days with individuals from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, otherwise known as NCMEC. These experienced investigators came with new ideas and tools not available in Boone to help support the investigation.
So fast forward to April 19th of 2017, Martin Roberts has now been missing for a year. So the Boone Police issued a new press release. On April 21st, 2016, James Martin Roberts was reported missing to the Boone Police Department by his roommates. This being the one-year anniversary of Martin's disappearance, the Boone Police Department would like to recap the efforts taken to find Martin during the last 365 days. Throughout this past year, many agencies and individuals have contributed to our investigation. It is obvious that people really care about Martin's welfare, and everyone wants to help bring him home. Tips and sightings. Martin has not been located, and to this date, the law enforcement community has not received any confirmable information that would help find him. Many pieces of information have been learned, and lots of people have called in possible tips and sightings. The search for Martin had led law enforcement to check tips as far as the Outer Banks and up even into Virginia. The Boone Police Department has also worked with various agencies along the Appalachian Trail and as far away as Ohio.
As far as land and sonar water searches for Martin, because there's no real information about Martin's whereabouts, the Boone Police Department has been searching for him anywhere he could be found. Many land searches have been conducted by both officers and citizens. These searches have occurred in many locations within the High Country. The Boone Police Department utilized the North Catawba Fire and Rescue Dive Team during this investigation. The agency provided both personnel and specialized equipment to assist in the searches, including a rescue boat equipped with sonar to search bodies of water. They also provided trained rescue divers to investigate anything discovered by the sonar equipment. The Appalachian State University Police Department has conducted several thorough searches of their entire campus and the areas surrounding. This includes all tunnels and rooftops.
So they also brought in search dogs and two separate teams of specialized human remains detection, or HRD, dog teams have been used during this investigation. The use of these trained dogs allows searchers to cover more ground efficiently. One of these teams were used for land, and another was actually used for water. The North Carolina State Bureau of Investigations HRD dog teams helped search multiple land area locations on multiple dates. The Boone Police Department has also utilized Dr. Lisa Briggs' HRD dog team. Dr. Briggs is a criminologist with Western Carolina University, and she owns a highly successful HRD dog named Layla. Layla is specially trained to search for human remains contained within bodies of water. Layla was used to search two bodies of water near the Blue Ridge Parkway. The North Carolina Catawba Fire and Rescue Dive Team again assisted with their personnel and equipment to assist in these water searches. So they also brought in a helicopter. Early in the search for Martin Roberts, the North Carolina Highway Patrol provided the use of their pilots and specially equipped helicopters to search the densely wooded areas. This helicopter was equipped with a FLIR, which is a special camera, and it senses infrared radiation that is typically from a heat source. FLIR was specifically used in this situation to search for a human being or a campfire. So if he had, you know, stopped somewhere and lit a fire, they would have seen that too. Mm-hmm.
So assisting agencies. The Boone Police Department is a small agency and has reached out to many public safety partners to investigate this case. Just some of the contributing agencies are the Appalachian State University Police Department, the Watauga County Sheriff's Office, Blowing Rock Police Department, the North Carolina State Bureau of Investigation and State Highway Patrol, the North Carolina and U.S. Park Rangers, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, or NCMEC, and the National Missing Unidentified Persons System, otherwise known as NAMIS, and the U.S. Secret Service. These are just a few of the assisting agencies. And then as far as the Roberts family, the Boone Police Department continues to work alongside the Roberts family. We have used the family as a resource throughout this investigation. The Roberts family has been crucial in reporting various tips and sightings that were not reported to law enforcement. The Roberts family has been a joy to work with during this tragic situation.
So as far as case reviews go, the Boone Police Department had many meetings as often as sometimes daily. On several occasions, the entire investigations division have met together and gone over the entire case completely to brainstorm any new ideas to investigate. When this investigation began to slow down and the investigators felt like they were running out of leads to follow up on, the Boone Police Department sought out the assistance of an outside expert in the field of criminal investigations. So Scott Hartley from the North Carolina Justice Academy was brought in for 2 days to do a complete review of the case, including all actions taken by the Boone Police Department. Mr. Hartley was able to look at this investigation with a new set of eyes, so some fresh eyes, and point out areas of the investigation that needed more work. Mr. Hartley's insight was very helpful, and the Boone Police Department began following up on these new ideas.
So where are we now? Unfortunately, the Boone Police Department has not been able to uncover any confirmable or credible information that has allowed investigators to learn the whereabouts of Martin Roberts. Where are we going with this case? The Boone Police Department will continue to look for Martin until we find him. This week, a separate outside expert in criminal investigations is reviewing the entire case for yet another fresh eyes perspective on this case. The Boone Police Department is also talking with Western Carolina University about possibly arranging a large-scale missing person case study by a large group of undergraduate criminology students. The Boone Police Department still continues to receive information and tips about Martin. These tips are treated as high priority and are followed up on immediately.
Want more details about this case? For much more information about this investigation, including interviews with Martin Roberts' father and the case investigators, go to www.thevanishedpodcast.com. Click on Listen and then Episodes and scroll down to the Martin Roberts case. Martin was last seen wearing a black short-sleeve Appalachian State windbreaker, khaki shorts, gray New Balance shoes, and a white golf visor hat. Anyone with information is asked to call the Boone Police Department at 828-268-6900 or High Country Crime Stoppers at 828-268-6959 or 828-737-0125. You may also submit a Crime Stoppers tip via our website at www.tipssubmit.com. You can also text a tip to 274-637 or crimes and place NC tip plus your tip in the body of the message.
So before we move on from that, the Boone Police Department has been an amazing resource for all the work that they've done. And in conversations that we have had with Abby Roberts and then other people on the case, they really believe that the Boone Police Department is uncovering everything they possibly can. So we wanted to read everyone the press releases so you truly understood the extent of what the police department did. Although Martin has disappeared, it's not for lack of trying to find him.
Exactly, yeah.
So on January 19th, 2018, Boone Police and the Roberts family announced that Martin's case would be uncovered on the show Disappeared. And what John Roberts said about it was, as we are very sad this is still needed, we are excited about getting Martin's story out to an even larger audience.
So April 21st, 2018, Martin has now been missing for 2 years. The Boone Police Department posted on their Facebook, "Our hearts go out to the Roberts family on this day and every day. The investigation is still an active investigation." In the same Facebook post, Boone Police Department went on to say, "Our criminal investigations unit continues to work this case. Our most recent action was having the case reviewed by a member of the VIDOCQ Society. Dave Pauly, who was a part of the VIDOCQ Society."
And we apologize because there's probably an appropriate way to pronounce that. And you just don't know.
Yeah. So Dave Pauly said that they were able to get some fresh insights that provided them with additional investigative steps. "The Boone Police does believe that there are people out there who know something that could help. Please contact the Boone Police Department if you can provide any information about the case."
On the Help Find Martin Roberts Facebook page, Abby Roberts, Martin's stepmom, posted a message to Martin. "A message to Martin. It's been 2 years today since we last heard your voice, since we last saw your face, since we last laughed at your dry, sly wit. We miss you more than words can ever say. We can understand the need to find yourself or to maybe look for a life that's different from the one you were leading, and we hope that's what you're finding. What you don't know is how much our lives have changed since you left. Nothing seems right. Our entire world is off kilter. Holidays aren't the same. Things that were once special aren't special anymore. And we seem to have no purpose. We search for you. We wait for you and pray every day for some word from you. We just want you to know how much we miss you every day. Those of us who are here missing you, and son, there are so many of us, sometimes struggle to find a reason to get up in the morning and keep going. But we know we have to because we're waiting for the day you're going to feel like it's time for you to come home. We hope that time is sooner rather than later because we miss you so much. If you're still on your journey of self-realization, or if you're looking for a new path or a new purpose for your life, we're okay with that. But just please let us know that you're safe. That would mean the world, more than anything, just how much we love you and how much we miss you, and that we are counting the seconds until we see your sweet face again. All of our love, Dad and Abby." Oh
my gosh. Yeah. Every time I read that, I'm like,
it just breaks my heart.
My heart is like broken into.
I know. I was thinking about what would happen if one of our babies.
I can't imagine. So even more time has passed, and just this past April, on April 21st, 2020, Martin has now been missing for 4 years. The Boone Police posted on Facebook once again and said, "Still an ongoing case. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the Roberts family." Abby Roberts posted another letter to Martin on the Help Find Martin Roberts Facebook page. "My dear sweet Martin, 4 years ago, our lives changed. April 21st, 2016 started out just like any other day, and yet it changed everything. our hopes and dreams for the future, our plans, our sense of normalcy, all vanished in an instant. How can it be possible that 4 years have passed? We couldn't imagine going 4 hours without finding you, and yet somehow it's been 4 years. Your friends are starting new lives, getting married, having children, and while we are so happy and excited for them, it's like we're stuck in a time warp. In so many ways, it still seems like it's still 2016 and we're waiting for the next chapter to begin. We miss you every day. Every holiday, every family event, every minute of every day, we feel your absence. It's a hole in our heart that won't heal unless you're home. Now the entire world has changed in ways that no one could have imagined because of a virus. I pray that you're safe and protected from this threat and all other threats the world can bring. We love you, we miss you, and pray every day is one day closer to your coming home. And if you don't feel like you can come home, please just let us hear from you. It would mean the world to us just to hear your voice.
Oh. So John Roberts, Martin's dad, also posted on the Help by Martin Roberts Facebook page.
Ways that you guys can help today. So the first thing that you guys can do is to join the Help Find Martin Roberts group if you haven't already, if you're on Facebook. Invite others to join the group as well. Share the missing poster with the $10,000 reward note at the bottom. Share the pinned announcement where on the Facebook page it says, "Here are the facts as we know them." Share any of the other posts that are on that Facebook page. Private message the group administrators or myself your address, and we'll send you a sticker for your car. If so inclined, say a small prayer for the health and safety of James Martin Roberts. Tell someone you care about that you love them. That's a big one. If this story doesn't make you feel like that, then my goodness. Leave a candle burning in your window so loved ones always know that they are welcome in your home. Try to live out the following quote from the late, great Jimmy Valvano. Mm-hmm. To me, there are three things everyone should do every day. Number one is laugh. Number two is think. Spend some time in thought. Number three, you should have your emotions move you to tears. If you laugh, think, and cry, that's a heck of a day.
Agreed. That's living life
to its fullest. Yeah, absolutely.
We want to preface this for family and friends who knew and loved Martin. Through our investigation, we have come across many theories and felt that we would be remiss to not present them all to you. These theories may be disturbing, so please listen with caution.
So we're going to start out with the first theory, which is probably one of the tougher ones.
Yes.
So the first theory is that Martin went to a secluded spot in the mountains and committed suicide. So when Martin left his apartment, he only took his ID and backpack. He was definitely not dressed for springtime in Boone.
Not at all. I mean, we just about froze when we were up there.
Yeah. So, you know, that's pretty, it's a pretty big one if, you know, and then a large amount of prescription depression pills were found in his apartment, so that kind of makes you wonder, were there any other pills that he brought with him, possibly? And what happened to the body? You know, that's a big question. Nobody has found a body, so what could have possibly happened to a body? Well, there have been multiple warnings to both residents and visitors of Boone regarding black bears. It's pretty predominant to see black bears in early spring and late summer. And you know, Martin disappeared in April. So the correlation of those is just, you know, kind of fits. And so the question then arises, did he die and then a bear take his body away?
And as much as we don't want to think about that, that was a logical theory that
absolutely.
We heard from quite a few different people. Mm-hmm. So we felt that it was important to share it. Again, we're not really sure what we think.
No.
But mm-hmm. this was one of the theories. The second theory was Martin wanted an escape and ended up meeting with a fatal accident or foul play. So when we went on our trip, we went up to Trout Lake, and
It is so remote and spread out. To get out there, or up there, for lack of a better term, there's windy roads, and on both sides, there's these ledges and hills, and we were just amazed at the remoteness of it. And when we got out to the lake, we got out of my vehicle and started walking around, and it was so quiet.
It was so quiet. I mean, you couldn't hear anything. And then the crazy thing also to me was, as we were pulling in, I mean, at first you start out in a paved road, and then it leads you into a gravel road, and you're like, okay, where am I going? You know, what is this leading me to? So it's definitely, like you said, a very remote, private area. And, you know, if Martin did take this walk, let's say he did walk there and he didn't catch a ride with someone, it was one of those walks that you would want to take if you were trying to clear your mind.
Absolutely. And if there was foul play, it would really be easy to lure someone there. I mean, Lindsay, when we were looking it up, we were trying to figure out how long it would take to walk. And wasn't one of the things you could look at, it was how long it would take to hitchhike there. And I mean, if you think about that, that was probably a very accepted thing. Mm-hmm. Hey man, do you need a ride? And what if the person who offered a ride wasn't a person that had good intent?
It's like, you know, most of the people up in the area are generally pretty welcoming, but I mean, you always have that one bad apple, so you just don't really know.
And it would have been very easy to lure someone out there, kill them, and dispose of the body. And again, we don't know what we think. We have heard that a couple of times, so wanted to put that out there as a possibility.
So the next one to consider was another one, because as we talked to a couple of people, we seem to get mixed emotions on this. You know, it's possible that maybe Martin got mixed up in drugs and he either overdosed or he was killed.
And we were fortunate in our investigation to meet someone who was willing to talk to us off the record, an anonymous source. So we have disguised this person's voice, but we just want to give you a glimpse into what they heard. So we'll go ahead and play that for you now.
So, to my understanding, this was the source that I got this from was law enforcement downtown. The two kids who he was still friends with from here, who he'd gone to high school with, they were coming up to App to visit with him frequently. He had a lot of his people over that age. They were not necessarily into drugs. Well, let me take a step back. When I say drugs, I mean like banging heroin. Not like weed. So, to my understanding, they got involved in, you know, like drug or weed and like party drugs, food and probably some drugs and shit. Recreational party time, whatever. So, the two gentlemen from here were going up there all the time, hanging out, partying, frat, party drugs, whatever. So, I guess, Robert. So he had, I guess, gotten, like, you know, a plug or whatever, and that's who they were going back and forth with. The two from here had kind of hatched the idea to rob the plug, and take off with the money and drugs and whatever. Primarily because they weren't going to have to deal with it, because they were going to come back here. And, you know, when you're dealing with low-level peddling weed and stuff, you don't really think about repercussions. So, I guess Martin was a little hesitant, but had kind of said, okay, well, whatever, we'll see, you know, one way or the other. So, the weekend they went up there, this was about the same time he had already dropped out of school and no one knew. He had already kind of withdrawn from everybody who's in the community college, nobody knew. Of that nature. So they were all hanging out, and I guess the two went ahead with it, and he didn't really know that's what their plans were for that particular moment. And it just kind of spiraled out of control. And so the plug had pretty much told them all, like, we're going to kill you. Kids came back to Kernersville. Martin went on about his life. Very shortly thereafter, he disappeared. So, I guess one of the kids from here got nervous, you know, is all new. All new.
Yeah.
And I guess he had gone to law enforcement here and kind of said, I don't know if this might help or not, but, you know, this could be related to that. And they reached out to whether it be Boone or whoever was handling it and said, you know, here's a tip for you. This might be helpful. This might not. They were contacted later and said, you know, we want to do like a joint interviewing of both of these kids together. You know, we've done some research, we found this out. I guess what they gathered from up there is they were able to find the person who was robbed. And he didn't want to be in trouble for anything that he had been doing. So he said, you know, I don't know anything about what happened later, but I do work for someone else who is pretty much the source in Boone for everything.
Yeah.
Not a good person, deep in the game, not a peddler like this one was. Mm-hmm. So I guess after some going back and forth, they interviewed both kids, and both kids had pretty much said, you know, we definitely feel like, you know, and they would not talk about, they kept alluding to certain things, but would not give names, they would not, other than the interview it was,
yeah.
They had alluded to the fact that Martin was afraid that he had been receiving threats in the area, that his fraternity wanted nothing to do with him anymore because they were all getting out. They had been told from the other person, like, when you see him, it's on site. And, you know, so he was feeling a lot of pressure. And because he knew it was going to come back, he had no idea that it was going to be next level drug dealer, not drug peddler type of setup. And then the two interviewed had pretty much said, if you got him, then I'm coming.
Damn.
And between Boone and Kernersville, we had no evidence of this happening. You know, Boone was able to mess around a little bit, but we all know how Boone is.
Yeah.
No one's going to talk about stuff like that. You know, especially not in that area. They do not care for police, even if it means that it's a drug-heavy area.
Yeah, it is. I mean, my parents went to college up there and was telling my dad about the case, and he was like, I bet it has something to do with drugs.
But the two here, you know, were very much like, there's no point in you digging around because if this person got him, you will not find him. It's that level of intense.
So when we met with Kayla, who was Martin's girlfriend at the beginning of, you know, the beginning of all of this, and then they eventually broke up, she was kind of a little, I think, taken back a little bit whenever we mentioned the drug scene with her. So according to her, she says, as far as I'm concerned, Martin was not into drugs. His roommate smoked weed, and those boys would try to rob someone. And she laughed.
Yeah, she thought it was pretty funny that we would even bring something like that.
And she said, most of these guys are married, and I don't see them doing that. She said, those boys were kind of stupid. But I don't think that they would really be dumb enough to, you know, what you just heard in the clip as far as robbing a drug dealer. She does not think that they were capable of that in any way. And she continued to go on and say that that's not something she thought Martin would do. So,
yeah. So we actually have come across this, not just with our anonymous source, but in our research. It's been brought up enough times to where we thought it was important to bring this up as well. And certainly an avenue that should continue to be investigated just in case there is some truth behind it.
Absolutely. And there were multiple suicides that involved drugs as well. And so I just thought it was interesting and that it needed to be made. It needed to be addressed.
Absolutely. So then the next one is, Martin left and started over somewhere new. And a fan of the Help by Martin Roberts Facebook page, Bruce T. Harville, posted in his theory on June 22nd, 2018. I'm sure that this post will be too long for many people to read, but I will try to keep it as short as possible. And as a side note, y'all, we did even edit this post for brevity. We'll put the entire post on our website, but it was a little too long to even go into here on the recording. So he ended up continuing. I think that it's been determined that Martin left on his own free will. It is highly unlikely that he was kidnapped, was harmed by others, or held against his will. In my mind, that leaves two possible scenarios. One, self-harm. And two, he wanted to start a new life somewhere else.
The idea of self-harm does not seem to fit the facts, as well as from my own experiences. He had his hair cut, bought groceries, and ran other errands. This is not a typical behavior for someone who is planning to end their life. According to Martin's friend, they went shopping. Martin purchased several items of frozen food. If Martin was planning to store them in a small dorm-sized freezer, only one or two items would fit.
So Martin seems to be a very smart and caring young man. About 2 to 2.5 months before he left, or about the time he stopped logging into his classes, something happened. Since Martin was not working at a job or doing schoolwork, the question arises, where did he spend his days? Is there a second person who Martin was visiting or taking care of? It has been stated that Martin was last seen on April 21st. However, that does not necessarily mean he went missing on that day. I know in my own life, with a little planning, I can hold up in my house for days or even weeks without my neighbors, or anyone for that matter, ever seeing me. There is an old saying that states, when there is no firm evidence, every theory fits. I have my own theory. I think that Martin was helping someone deal with personal, physical, or mental issues. His schoolwork and having a real job would get in the way of helping this person deal with their issues. Martin placed the antidepressant in his room so the other person did not have access to a large number of pills and possibly attempt suicide. Martin purchased food to last him and the other person a couple of days. He got his hair cut and so on, knowing that he would not have access to his money once they left town. I also believe that Martin was out for a long walk prior to him leaving, trying to clear his head and praying or hoping that he was making the right decision.
So, all of that said, how do we find Martin? It's not like looking for a needle in a haystack. It's like looking for one specific needle in a pile of needles. I do not have the answer, but I do have suggestions. Look at young men with tattoos on the lower arm. Martin has several unique facial features, including his eyebrows and rounded smile. There are a few things I learned when I went missing for a couple of years. I always sat in the back section of a restaurant facing the door. I always wore a hat. People remember your hat and not your face. I am from the South, so I had to be careful when speaking that I didn't sound too Southern. It's much easier to hide in a crowded supermarket, but for some reason, many people who do not want to be seen shop when it's slow or late at night. So, all of this said, what I will look for. A young man with a tattoo on his forearm, wearing a visor, either walking or riding a bike, no valid driver's license, shopping when it is not as busy, buying foods that are easy to prepare, sitting in the back of a restaurant facing the door, not overly friendly, but still polite, living a very quiet lifestyle. When not alone, he will be with the same person who he is protective of.
My gut tells me that there is absolutely no evidence that Martin is married, taking some kind of classes online, and working in a job where he can be paid cash under the table, or they do not ask too many questions. From what I have read, heard, and can conclude, Martin was telling one group of his friends one thing, a different group something else, and his family a third story. Taking this at face value, I think it had to be a secret relationship. As for taboos, there are many kinds of taboos. It appears to me that Martin felt that he was not only disappointing his family, but he was also disappointing his frat brothers and his school and childhood friends. It appears he cut ties with all of his groups prior to leaving. Cutting groups off before making major changes is a form of avoidance. If he is no longer talking to his family and friends, he does not have to explain himself and or hear their opinion. I see Martin as a young man wanting to be the best at whatever he does, the best soccer player, the best employee, the best frat brother, the best friend, and most importantly, the best son.
I personally do not think that Martin was suffering from a mood disorder, such as manic depression, or a schizophrenic type disorder. He is too organized. In most cases, a person who is suffering from a mental illness that is severe enough to make them want to escape or run away will show classic signs. From all reports I have read, Martin has proper hygiene, kept his hair clean and cut, bought food, talked to both friends and strangers, and is able to keep his stories and lies straight. In addition, there have not been witnesses who state that he was awake for several days, which would make him manic, slept more than normal, which would make him depressed, or lost touch with reality, which would be psychosis. When a person goes into an uncontrolled mental state or snaps, it is obvious to most people, especially those who are living in the same house or close to them. As for depression, that is possible. But still, the depth of his depression would have to be severe enough to cause him to want to flee his life as a student. As the name says, depression slows everything down. It is the deepest, darkest pit from hell. It is true that an antidepressant medication was found in Martin's room. However, there is no way to know that if the medication were his or he was taking them for depression and or any other personality issue. It appears to me that Martin had a plan, some kind of exit plan. The plan had been in the works for a couple of months and probably involved another person or several people. Martin's action leading up to his disappearance was not that of a suicidal person. Could I be totally wrong? Of course.
Wow. It seems like this man like really went into some depth to think
he
about.
He spent some time thinking about it. And he did say that he had purposely gone missing himself. And he was in a relationship with a much older woman. And what he thought people would think was wrong with it was he was with an older woman.
Right.
And she was almost twice his age. So he did not think that that would be okay. But actually at her beckoning, he ended up contacting his family and getting back in touch.
Wow.
So she was the reason that they reunified.
Wow.
So we really do thank you for letting us put your post up here. I think that it's a very compelling statement.
I think so too. So we asked Kayla when we interviewed her what she thought happened to Martin. And she said that he may have been depressed when he was trying to figure out what to do with himself. And in March of 2016, he had actually texted her and apologized for how he had treated her through the relationship. And he basically was just apologizing for a lot of the decisions that he had made. It seemed like he was just all of a sudden being really apologetic towards her.
Yeah, it's not like he has some time for reflection.
Yeah. So she says he liked the mountains and he liked the beach. He wouldn't go somewhere that he has already been. If he's not dead, he's where he wants to be. She said that she'll have this dream that she sees him in a crowd, and sometimes she is happy, and then sometimes she's just mad.
Well, it's understandable. I mean, if he's truly pursuing what he wants to pursue, she wants what's best for him.
Yeah.
And so if he comes back, will it still be what's best for
yeah.
him?
Yeah.
I can understand that completely.
Same, absolutely. She said he realized that summer that he wanted to change. He got back to Boone, and that was his clicking point. That he needed to get out of there. When people say that he committed suicide or did some type of drugs, she thinks that he just realized that he couldn't make the changes and be the person he wanted to be. So he left and he started a life in a small remote town. As far as money, he probably just had something, you know, somewhere stashed away. She said he was always street smart. He always spit out random facts that no one should know. In high school, he went to Italy and he loved it. It is really easy to get fake documents. You can go everywhere and go wherever. If he was to reach out to anyone else, it would be me, his sister, or his mom. He did reach out to me the day before he left. And as far as the note, she wanted to carefully word it. It was not a suicide note. She says that they wasted a whole bunch of time looking for a body.
She firmly believes that Martin is out there in the world living
yeah.
his best life. And she also said the publicity would make him feel like he was cared about, but it wouldn't make him want to come home. And he's at peace with this decision. When we asked Kayla what she would say to Martin if she could talk to him, she said, I am proud of you for making the decision to better your life and not be influenced or brought down by people. Do what makes you feel happy. Martin has two tattoos, one of multicolored mountains on his left forearm and a tattoo over his right rib cage. This one has a quote from the song Zion Train by Bob Marley. It says, "Don't gain the world, but lose your soul. Wisdom is better than silver or gold." Maybe Martin is out there somewhere living a new life, having truly understood these lyrics. Martin, wherever you are, may peace be with you.
Wow, that is a crazy, heartbreaking story. I don't even know.
And you could see how we could go down so many different rabbit holes with this case and just connect so many different pieces and get to so many different outlets with this. It's crazy.
Yeah, we walk away from this. I mean, we were just trying to say, what do we think happened? Mm-hmm. And we really just don't know. I mean, there's so many different paths that we could go down. And that's why we really wanted to present this out to everyone to say, okay, you guys go in and dig, or maybe there's someone out there who knows something.
Yeah. I know. I mean, this is one of the only cases that I've heard where I cannot even begin to predict which one of these theories about what happened is accurate. Like, all of them sound 100% feasible.
Absolutely.
And I can't imagine how hard that is for his family and friends to really just not know. I mean, you talk about people disappearing, but you think, oh, well, you know, we probably know what happened. Unfortunately, a lot of times they passed away or whatnot, but in this case, who knows? I mean, who really knows?
Yeah, we've been really fortunate. Although we didn't have an official interview with Abby Roberts, that's Martin's stepmom, we've been in touch and we've had a lot of conversations. And one thing that they make it a point to do, anytime there's a life event for Martin, they post on his Facebook page and they write a personal message to him. And they just have so much love for him. And I just know that wherever he is, they want what's best for him, but they really do want to know he's okay and that he, even if he's not going to come home, that he's okay and he's happy.
Wow, that just, oh my gosh, gives me like goosebumps. And I can tell with, you know, both of you, Christina and Lindsay, how touched and affected you really were.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm sitting here looking at Christina, who's got tears glistening in her eyes. And Lindsay, just, I mean, you guys just really poured your heart and soul into this. And, you know, I know that no matter what the case may be for what happened to Martin, I think you guys have done a great job of sharing his story and just bringing awareness.
We'll always follow the story of Martin Roberts. Mm-hmm. We're always going to be invested.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if anybody knows anything that could help the family or help the police department, you know, figure out what happened to Martin, please do not hesitate to reach out to the Boone Police Department. All right, everyone. Well, thank you guys. You did a great job. And everybody else, stay safe and we will see you in 2 weeks.
True Crime Mamas Podcast is a production of Coastal Mama Production. Theme music created by Sam Morrison with Arkham Files Podcast. TCM Podcast is property of the True Crime Mamas Podcast, LLC.